Hey everyone, welcome in to the weekend edition of the KE Report. Corey Fleck here along with Shad Marquitz. We are your hosts for this weekend's show, and boy oh boy was it another wild weekend in the markets. High volatility and kind of a shift change by the end of the week when the war, I guess, between Russia and Ukraine started. We saw some fears creep into the market and then a pretty quick reversal in U.S. equity markets. Very interesting to see. And as we close the week, I know a lot of people are scratching their heads saying, what is actually driving this market and what are the directions that anyone can really grasp onto right now? We are kicking off the show with Rick Bensignor, president of Bensignor Investment Strategies. Writes the institutional newsletter, Supposedly Irrelevant Factors. That's read by some of the most successful hedge funds in the world. And on the retail side, Rick writes the In the Know Trader and also a piece called 7-Eleven, where Rick chooses no more than 7 of the 11 spider ETFs with the goal to beat the general S&P. Now, Rick, I want to start off generally discussing when we see, let's say, almost black swan event or geopolitical event such as this, more or less, it seems like invasion of Ukraine by Russia, this impacts markets, but sometimes these moves are short-lived and sometimes the moves that people would expect just don't pan out. But one thing that is for sure is you get high volatility. Rick, what do you do in instances like this where you have this external factor that is pushing markets in some pretty wild directions?
Well, what do I do? In this case, it's certainly different than if the U.S. was involved in the actual skirmish, whether it was us aiding a NATO ally and sending troops, but in this case, the Ukraine is not part of NATO, or if Russia or some other country, had actually attacked a U.S. territory or the U.S. itself, it's very different than this particular case where Russia essentially invaded what used to be part of the entire USSR. And, I think when it comes to looking at U.S. markets, it's not going to certainly have the deep impact it would as if we were actually in the war itself. That's number one. Number two, the market, at least for now, has matched the old Wall Street saying of sell the rumor, buy the fact. So for a couple of weeks, we've been selling off and built up into the news of an actual Russian invasion, and it coincided with the low in the market. Yesterday's 100-point S&P gap down was essentially the low of the day. The lows were made very early in the day, and there was straight buying for the bulk of the rest of the day. So this also fits into, we've known this was coming. It was not a surprise. We didn't wake up when we heard that Russia actually went into the Ukraine. This is something that's been talked about for a couple of weeks now. So much market decline and bearishness had already been built in that, the big gap down was actually the buying opportunity. And from some of the models and things we look at, yesterday was much more of a buying type day than a selling type day in my view. So, when you've got to put all this war stuff into the bigger picture of, is it our war? And the answer is no, not yet. Politically, it might be, but actual troop-wise and economically, it impacts us. It impacts the entire globe, and it certainly impacts our friends in Europe. But it's the type of thing that you've got to put it into consideration into everything else going on at the time. And we certainly can bounce from here, but I'm not convinced that this necessarily means we turn around and go straight higher.
Well, Rick, one of the things that comes to mind when you talk about our friends in Europe and the Russian incursion invasion into Ukraine is energy. And I'd love to get your thoughts on it, because Europe is very dependent on Russia for their, especially countries like Germany, for their natural gas and for oil and for energy. And Russia is a huge exporter, one of the largest of oil and natural gas. How do you think that's going to shape up as far as the energy markets from here?
Well, so it's clearly had an impact on oil, WTI oil, which is American, let's call it, you know, American oil as compared to Brent oil, which pretty much feeds Europe. You know, we hit $100 yesterday, and yet oil right now is trading down under $91. So it's also the type of thing that was sell the rumor, buy the fact, or in this case, you know, where we're actually selling the fact. So it was buy the rumor and sell oil. And a week ago in my institutional report, supposedly irrelevant factors, in the subject line of an entire 18-page global macro report, the key thing I put down was, you know, a notation about the S&P and some levels, but that smart money is actually selling oil. And that got a lot of response because oil's flying, and I'm telling people smart money is selling oil. And what I had done was, part of the way I looked at that and why I expected oil to come off despite all this war stuff was that spreads had been coming in. So if you look at, if you understand commodity markets, one of the best ways to understand what the near-term direction and potential change of trend could occur on is by looking at the spreads in between the actual contract months. And I had noticed that spreads had come in quite a bit in the front month. So at that time, it was March, April, and now the front month is kind of April versus May. And I actually sold some April Mays myself in the fund that I managed yesterday. And I think that we could easily be done short term. Now, any shock can again send oil higher. But right now, with the news kind of known what it is, I think oil can come in. And that's going to go against the grain of a heck of a lot of traders on the street. So, you know, oil is down $2.50 today. And you wouldn't, and that was after a reversal yesterday. So I think you can see oil come back down. And the U.S. may actually be in an attempt to bring prices down because the pain on the consumer is pretty strong. It's possible without us knowing, we may be getting closer to, there may be talks behind the table between possibly the U.S. and Iran to put some type of deal back together and, you know, get the nuclear deal put into place and or back into place that Obama had done. And maybe that would, you know, getting additional oil from Iran into the global market might help keep prices or help bring them lower.
So, Rick, what is your outlook for the general energy or oil price? Because oil was doing well before this conflict arose. But there were a lot of people saying that, look, oil had such a good year just last year that, well, maybe it will have some sort of a pullback or needs at least some sort of a slowdown.
Well, you know, are you asking me specifically oil or oil-related stocks?
Let's start with oil, but then we can get into the stocks for sure.
Okay. So oil, I think, could certainly consolidate these recent gains and potentially pull back to, I don't know, 85 and possibly even the upper 70s. So that would be like kind of my targets on the downside. It wouldn't surprise me if we did get back down. You know, the 200-day moving average in oil for a front-month rolling contract is about $75.50 now. And I think it's possible that on a shakeout here, especially if you take out the lows from, I don't know, maybe it was just a week ago, we were at 87.50 or so was the low of the move. You take that out, I think you get 85 first, and then you could really just kind of plunk towards 75. So in general, I think oil can consolidate and potentially pull back from here. I'm not a rampant bull at $91 oil right now, and I'm very open about it. I am essentially short in the way that I'm short April and long May. So I am looking for oil to come in. The other piece of this is on the equity side. And I think the equity side is overdone near term. You certainly can see some type of pullback, but the pullback in my eyes is one that you want to buy. From everything I look at, oil has made its, not oil, XLE, the ETF that tracks the S&P Energy Index, has made its long-term relative bottom against the S&P. You have to remember that if you go back 20, 22 years or so, energy is the only piece of the S&P, so the 11 macro sectors, you actually have lost money being invested in over the last 20 plus years. No other part of the market would you be down money, right? The market's had a huge rally since 2000. Not energy. You'd actually be down money. However, I do think if you look at XLE divided by the S&P, so in other words, the relative strength, that long-term bearish market that you have gotten decimated in as an investment is done with to the downside, and that energy is a place you want to be positioned in, not only at equal weight, but overweight going forward. So I think you're going to most likely have a secular bull market in the energy space over the next several years. And therefore, whatever I'm overweight energy and I'll pull backs, I will take and put more exposure to work. I think it is a very under-owned and undervalued asset within the entire S&P. So certainly it can pull back near term. It hit upside targets last week that have been in place for months and months. And so if oil does pull back 10 or 20%, certainly energy names can, but I do think you're going to see an underlying bid in that area relative to the rest of the market.